Sazra. Sazra stands for Soldiers, Airmen, Scriptures Association. Just for anybody who didn't know that. Today I want to lay out why it is I do what I do, even before telling you what it is I do. We're going to look at some words that Jesus said in John 3:14-15, that Jesus told Nicodemus, and look into what he meant by it. Then we're going to look briefly at the history of Sazra and of myself, what Sazra is doing today, more precisely what I'm doing, or what the Lord has been doing in the last 6 months in Catterick Garrison, and how you can be involved. We have some time at the end for some questions, so if you do have any questions relating to Sazra, the military, bear in mind I'm not a general, I don't know all the ins and outs, I don't make policy. Don't ask me policy questions, I don't know. I'm just an evangelist. At the end, John 3:1-15 is a very familiar text. A conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. And we might be familiar with certain parts of it. You need to be born again. I'm familiar with that. Or you need to be born of water and of fire. What is flesh is flesh, what is spirit. This is Jesus trying to make clear to Nicodemus what he needs to do to enter the kingdom of God. All these things Jesus said he expected Nicodemus to know. He expected him to already know and was somewhat shocked that he didn't, if Jesus can be shocked. He was shocked that he didn't know them. Jesus tried to convince Nicodemus of the need to be saved, to be regenerated. And as the teacher of Israel, which before our reading in verse 10, let alone the teacher of Israel, he really should have known this. But instead of going over the same ground, Jesus moves very quickly to a very practical point. How is Nicodemus to be saved? How is Jesus going to make a way for Nicodemus and the likes of us to be saved? We pick up our text in verse 11, and if we read together. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you did not believe, how will you believe if I tell you earthly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Look how quickly Jesus lays out what he should have known in verse 11. Then confronts him with his unbelief, which is not understandable, as Jesus tells him that what he has been told and what he and others had witnessed. Yet Nicodemus refused to believe not only his words, but all those who preach Christ. Jesus then uses his favourite description of himself, the Son of Man, in verse 13, reminding Nicodemus just who he is. He could have used the word Messiah. He could have used the word Christ here. But the Son of Man did away with the notion that he was going to destroy the Roman Empire and end the Roman occupation of Israel, but ties Jesus into so much of the Old Testament. But Jesus even takes Nicodemus further back. Takes all the way back to Moses in the wilderness. And it's here I want to focus our thoughts on tonight. On just what Jesus meant by, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. This short verse has a lot to say. The Bible says that Moses wrote about Jesus, and here he points out just one way how Moses shows a prototype of himself. now today in those lovely songs led by such nice worship leaders. We aim to lift the Lord high, didn't we? Did we want to lift the Lord high? And we want to give him praise and glory. We want to broadcast his name. But is this what is meant by the Son of Man must be lifted up? No, it is not. To understand what this means, we must travel back ourselves, all the way back to the wilderness. The Israelites had been delivered from Egypt. They'd been rescued from slavery. God had rescued them by sending the plagues to Pharaoh. The first Passover had taken place. The deliverance from Pharaoh's army by the parting of the Red Sea had taken place. They had been given the law of the Lord. They had heard the thunder, as we sung about a second ago. They had heard the rolling thunder, but not just of the sky, but of the Lord from Mount Sinai. They had heard and seen the power of the Lord. Not only all these things, but God had told them that he promised them the land. Go take the promised land. But they rejected it. They rejected God. It's God's people. They rejected what God had told them to do. 10 spies returning. Those giants. It's scary. It's too hard. We're not doing it. 2 spies. Caleb and Othniel. Caleb and his nephew returns and says, yes, there are giants. Yes, there are all these things. Yes, there it is hard. But we remember the Lord's promise. The land's flowing with milk and honey. Let's go take it. It's ours. God's promised it. But they rejected it. The people didn't trust God. There is still more. God's protection and provision for them all the days that they were in the wilderness. God looked after them. I don't know about you, but I have to buy my kids clothes every 5 seconds. This stuff is rough. It's tough. But it wears out. I couldn't wear this for 40 years. Not a chance. Boots. 3 years, and that's been cheap. But God sorted it, that the clothes never wore out. Not only that, God made sure that these tens of thousands of Israelites had enough food to eat daily. And like the spies returning from the promised land, they forgot God's goodness. The Israelites repeatedly turned on Moses and rebelled against God. And the incident of the bronze snake, which Jesus refers to, is just one more time that the people rebelled. Not far behind that, before that, we had the incident of Korah's rebellion. The leadership of Israel rose up against Moses and said no. God dealt with that, as he does here. So turn with me all the way back to Numbers 21. I'm a scripture reader. I love reading scripture, and I'm good. So Numbers 21, verse 4 and 9. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and of Moses. Why have you brought us to this out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water. And we loathe this worthless food. This is the bread of heaven. And we will continue. This is the bread of heaven that they're saying is worthless. This is manna. This is a gift of God. This is the daily bread that we so hungrily read our Bibles as daily bread. This is the Lord Jesus embodied, not embodied, but prefigured in bread. And they've rejected it and called it worthless. They loathe it. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people in Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned. For we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. Moses made a bronze serpent and set it up on a pole, and if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Moses lifted up a bronze serpent, and all who looked upon it were healed. The poison would not lead to death. This is to say that God's wrath, so duly doled out here for the loaf, the bread, because of their sin, would no longer kill them. Jesus, as we know, was lifted up to, for all to see. But instead of a shining bronze serpent, it was a blood-stained body of Jesus. Unlike the bronze serpent, which might have even been pleasing to the eye, and later on in the Old Testament, when we get to Kings, we read of a king, someone happened to destroy the serpent because people had worshipped it. They worshipped something that was not meant to be worshipped, but was a sign of God's goodness. Our Lord and Master was so beaten, he no longer looked human. He was placed in the place of thieves. Shouts and disdain came from all around him. Our own voices, our very own voices, I'm positive, would have been added there. I wonder how many of us would have spat on the Master as he hung there. I don't know about you. You might be good, solid Christians, and you might have been raised that way all your days and never once doubted God. But I know my voice would have been there, but I needed to be saved. Easter is coming. We know that. And it's important for us to look. It's important for us who know the Lord Jesus to look once more at the cross, the horror of the cross, and see its glory. It's a reason we have crosses. It's a horrible thing. It's a thing of torture. Yet our Lord Jesus Christ went there and died for us. And that's gloriousome. Oh, how I love the old rugged cross. It's one of my songs that sustains me when I've not read my Bible, maybe, or I've forgotten. It's one of the songs that keeps me going, so I remember it. It's in my head. The Lord Jesus points back to this picture of the bronze snake that we might look upon him and not perish. That the poison that we've all been bitten with would not lead to death, but we would live. It is in need of this, to look upon Jesus to be saved, that I wish to give to the soldiers, to our soldiers. I wish to share with our soldiers and airmen the need to look upon Jesus. Charles Spurgeon's testimony, his very own testimony, how he saves, speaks of him walking into a small primitive Methodist church and hearing a lay preacher call him to look on Jesus, to believe on Jesus, to hope upon Jesus, and to rest upon what Jesus had done on the cross. And oh, how I pray for the lads and girls in our units in Catrick that they too would look upon Jesus. For if they don't, the poison of sin, rebellion against God, will lead to death. The just wrath of God will still stay on their shoulders. The second death, which is so terrible that it took our Lord to die on a cross to save us from it. I do what I do, and sharing the gospel with soldiers for many reasons. The most powerful one for me is that I lost 4 friends in Afghanistan. Davy Walker, Cammy, Stephen Monkhouse, and Dale. All nice men in their own way. All good men in their own way. Served the country proud. Died for the country. It's meant a lot to me. It means a lot to his family. I only know where one of them are. I only know where Dale is. For he looked upon Jesus. He trusted in Jesus. And our passage makes it clear that because he looked, he'll live. He's with the Lord now. I know that. The Bible does tell me that. I don't know. I don't know for sure where the others are. But I don't know if they ever looked and were saved from the wrath. My own guess, or the evidence that I have, would say they didn't look upon Jesus. And that is sad. I'm glad that I was there as a soldier to maybe be a bit of a witness. Don't know how good I was back then, but they knew that I was a Christian, and they knew that I believed in Jesus, and I hope upon hope that maybe, just maybe, in the last seconds of life, they might have grasped that and came to the Lord. And I'd be overjoyed when I get to glory and they'll be there. But I have no assurance of that. I'm sure that Dale is there. So Sazra is all about giving our soldiers and airmen and women the chance to respond to the gospel.